shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
The Herald of Truth broadcast is on the air, a program of spirit and truth dedicated to teaching the way of God more perfectly. These broadcasts contain keys to help unlock knowledge and reveal hidden truths of the Bible in these last days. Christians, called to a higher level of understanding, will be given Bible-based solutions to their personal as well as national problems. They will want to find out more about their part in God's plan. Our mailing address is Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602, and will be given again at the end of this broadcast.
Good evening. This is Brother Mike of Kingdom Identity Ministries, welcoming you to another one of our First Sunday Kingdom Concepts broadcasts. Tonight we're being heard over WWCR Transmitter 3, that's 4.840 megahertz, and Transmitter 4, which is 5.890 megahertz, that reaches out west a little bit better for our West Coast listeners. And we're being heard over WBCQ, 7.490 megahertz. Both of those stations also have an internet stream, but you can get the best stream by going directly to our website, kingidentity.com, kingidentity.com. Go to the radio page, and then down at the bottom of the radio page, you'll see a black box that has links to players, Windows Media, MP3, Real Player, etc., and that connected directly to our Nashville studio, so it's the clearest sound. If you'd like to participate in tonight's broadcast, you can call us toll-free at 877-924-7722. I'll repeat that, 877-924-7722. You can remember that by 877-YAWS-RACE. Tonight, we have a man who's been a minister for many years as our guest. He's a Bible scholar, the author of a number of books, including Racial Difference More Than Skin Deep, which we publish. He's been on the program before as a guest, and he's also been on in pre-recorded sermons, including one on Romans 13, which we broadcast 2 weeks ago and was quite popular. I'd like to welcome back to the broadcast Pastor Everett Ramsey.
How are you doing?
Just fine. How are you doing?
Oh, good. It's good to be with you tonight. And trust that your listeners will be helped by something we can add to the program.
Well, I think so. Like I said, your broadcast on Romans 13 was well received, and you've certainly had an abundant amount of experience with man's government versus God's church and the persecution for righteousness' sake. Would you like to start by giving us some of your background and your awakening?
Sure. I was born to a Baptist minister and his wife. I'm getting up into my early 70s these days. I surrendered to preach when I was 16 years old in a Baptist church and went through several different Southern Baptist, Independent Baptist, various Baptist teachings. And, of course, after I had received a degree in business, which I had to work my way through college, and then I went into Bible college and got my degrees there, I was also pastoring a church. I pastored in Missouri and South Dakota and Nebraska, where we had a church in Louisville, Nebraska, and the people there started a Christian school. And we did not opt for state licensure and certification because their requirements would have violated our faith and our belief in the Lord Jesus Christ as being sovereign and being the teacher of all truth. And also the history that was being taught in the public schools, they wanted that taught in our school, and that certainly did not was not the truth. So the state of Nebraska began to try to close us down, took us to court after 6 years and about $4 or $5 million, we won the case. But through it, we learned an awful lot about what we really should believe. It's amazing that you can go through college and get 2 degrees and go through seminary, and you're really not taught very much at all. You're indoctrinated more into the things they want you to do to go out and build churches. and you really aren't taught much truth. And out of this time when we had the Christian school, they threw myself and our elders and some of the parents in jail, tried to throw some of the women in jail, and they left state, of course, and went out and told the story. But we got hit many times with this Romans 13 thing. You know, we were a lot of preachers and a lot of Christians, even some of them testified against us in court, saying that we were supposed to obey the laws of the land. Well, God never did intend for us to obey the laws of the land when they violate the laws of God. You know, God is law. That's what John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, talks about. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word there is logos, or the law. In the beginning was the Lord, was the Word, and the Word was God, and with God, and Jesus Christ was God. And so the only way you can actually practice idolatry is to turn from the laws of God and obey the laws of another God that are opposed to your God.
Of course, that's the definition of sin, is transgression of the law.
Absolutely. So we put this in their court records and everything, and of course we found out through 6 years of fighting the battle there, there were many hinges that they had gotten their claws into the church through incorporation, and we didn't have a 501c3, but that would have been even a worse connection. Also, marriage licenses issued by the state became a way which they could claim jurisdiction over the children. And so all of these things were shocking to us. We had never anywhere in a Bible college or a college, not even in the law classes, do they teach you this kind of information. But it was brought out in the testifying before the legislature. It was brought out in the case. The judge personally gave me some information. And he understood basically very well our case. And when we got out and unincorporated the church, came back and filed for release from the judgment of the court, he was in favor of it, so they replaced him. It was kind of interesting. We figured out the system and figured out how to get around him, and he was wanting to stand with us, then they replaced him and put a judge in who would just walk over it and ignore it. And that's what they did, of course, until it was finally, the law was finally changed. But we had 3 or 4 years there of very intense struggle in Nebraska. Probably 5,000 to 6,000 pastors came. Many were educated on the truth. But the truth is, I traveled extensively, 100,000 miles a year across this country, and preached in about 800 churches. And churches weren't open. They weren't really receptive to the truth. They enjoyed the sermon, but they didn't want any more. And the main reason is that if you're going to deal with sin, you can't grow a church. You can't grow a church and preach against sin, because people who are sinners and people who want to live in sin, they're not going to come to a church where you're preaching the Word of God, unless, of course, they are converted and become sons of God, and the Spirit of God gives them the power to want to do what's right.
Compromising the words, what got it into a lot of the mess of today.
Yes. Well, today it's even worse. I think in 1984, when we went through this, 1982 through 84, 86, in that area, we had probably at that time as many as 8 or 10 really good preachers out in the country preaching in the churches and telling them the truth, and basically they rejected it. And that's why we are where we are today. It's much worse. It's very interesting that in the last, 15 years, I've probably been invited to preach in maybe 15 or 20 churches, and I've never had over one sermon. It's not that I'm mean. It's not that I'm unkind. But the media does a job on you, and they called you all kinds of names, and the people read that and believe that versus the truth. Plus, they're not ready to hear anything to do with multiculturalism or the kind of problems that our problems are as one of my pastor, Dr. McCurry, has told me many times, he says, Brother Everett, we're so broken we can't be fixed without God's help. And I think we're there. I think that when we elected this last president, that was God's judgment on this nation and his complete rejection of where we are. And I predicted when he ran for office that he would win. And I predicted that before his first term was out, we'd be in a war in the Israel situation in the Middle East. And I think that's going to happen. So we are getting what the people of America have basically, as a whole, have asked for.
In Hosea 4, starting in verse 1, it talks about there's no truth or mercy or knowledge of right. God in the land. And goes on down to verse 6, and it says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And that certainly fits yeah. America today.
Yeah, it's very interesting. This week I had lunch at one of the clubs here, this Lions clubs here in town, and a fellow was one of the lawyers sitting at the table with me that we've known for a while, and another man that had a business. And these storms, all these storms and the natural calamities that are happening, and I simply said, well, it's obvious to me that God's trying to get our attention. And these guys are very, very active in their local churches. One of them's a charismatic church, one's a Methodist church. But they didn't feel God would ever do anything like that to people, that God is love and he is not going to judge or punish anyone for anything. And that's where we are. I mean, the preachers don't ever preach against sin. They don't call people to accountability to God. They don't try to say... teach them that God is a God of justice and judgment and righteousness, and if we sin against him, there's going to be an accountability that has to be accounted for. But they're not hearing that. They're not getting it. We've visited probably 40 or 50 churches in the state of Missouri, and only in one time in the entire area did I ever hear anybody preach against sin or name sin and talk about the laws of God. Only one. Never heard anything that would cause anybody to feel uncomfortable in the service.
I guess you know that Mike Huckabee used to be the governor of the state, a Baptist preacher.
Yeah.
And he actually, when he was governor, wanted to change the wording from acts of God when there were disasters such as tornadoes and so on.
Uh-huh.
And he wanted to change it because he said they weren't acts of God, and here he was a minister.
Yeah, yeah.
Didn't
well, he
understand judgment.
If you watch his show very much and know much about him, he's a very, very liberal kind of a guy. He's just, he doesn't know enough truth about God, in my opinion, to have a stand.
he was instrumental in getting the Mexican consulate in this state, which was supposed to originally go to Tennessee, and then he was instrumental in a very liberal illegal immigration program. You know, we have
right.
a lot of the illegal Mexicans in the state.
Yeah, well, we the big thing now with Tyson Foods and many of the other slaughter plants around, they're not really importing Mexicans anymore. They're importing Somalians, the Muslims, out of Somalia. We've got a new horse kill plant going in here not 20 miles from where I live, and we're fighting it like crazy because they're going to bring in 40 or 50 Muslim Somalians to run and to operate the plant and do the work, and they'll bring in another 100-150 of their family members. We'll have increased crime, we'll have higher welfare rates, we'll have higher Medicaid medical costs or taxes will go up, and it'll be a very unsafe place to live.
Plus, a lot of the whites are losing. I've had a number of people tell me that they have lost or know people who have lost jobs. First, they got their pay reduced, and then they got laid off while Tyson's employed Mexicans at some of the local plants.
Yeah, well, what they don't tell you about that, but they not only bring them here using our tax dollars to pay their expenses to get them here to this country. Then they give the companies that hire them our tax dollars to pay them. And so that's why they lay off our people, because they don't get those tax breaks with our people, with the citizens of this country. And so unless that changes the employment opportunities, especially especially for white Christians in the middle part of the country or anywhere else, it's going to be very limited. They're going to give preference to other people.
I know that they're also bringing South Sea Islanders into their plant over in, I believe, Fayetteville or Springdale.
Yeah.
And they could just as easily, instead of these Somalians you spoke of or the Mexicans or so on, they could just as easily bring in some Eastern Europeans such as Poles or Ukrainians or so on that would love to come to this country and would easily be assimilated within one generation or less.
Well, they understand that, but, you know, our enemies, they're not stupid. Then this is the part where the churches have really failed, is that they don't recognize that we're dealing with descendants of Cain and his Canaanite descendants, people who I believe that God's people have as one writer years ago said, it's put in our blood, and that means genetics. They didn't use that word back then, but it was put in our blood to have certain laws and understandings in our heart. The Lord said he'd put his law in our hearts. I believe the other side just as much has the genetics and the bloodstream of Satan and his laws in their hearts, and they're the ones who are in charge, and they're the ones who are doing this, and they know exactly what they're doing. Mr. Obama, when he was running for office, made the comments that he didn't like those white Christians that cling to their God and their guns. Well, that's who they know. They know that's who we are. They know we're those people, and they're going to do everything in the world they can to minimize us, because the only way you can get rid of God in this world is to get rid of God's people. That's the only way you can do it.
That's right. I actually believe that in the 30s there was an awakening in Germany. I'm not endorsing Hitler or National Socialism.
Right.
I'm just saying that there was an awakening, and I think that they know that if you keep the race pure, there's that spirit which you speak of in your book, Racial Difference, More Than Skin Deep. There's that spirit within the white man that has the potential for awakening, and you mongrelize our race out of existence or bring in some of these alien races, they can better control them.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. They obviously, Mr. Obama is depending entirely upon that non-Anglo-Saxon race people to get reelected for the most part. Now, he'll certainly get some people, but most of our people have awakened to the fact that he is not one of us, and he is not helping our country. So he's lost a tremendous number of support from the people who are of Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, and Scandinavian background, German and Germanic. And obviously, I think it's very significant that Mr. Cameron from England and Merkel from Germany and Sarkozy from France, all of them have come out publicly against multiculturalism as stating that it is not a workable solution. And our people are yet still trying to figure that out.
Well, Pat Buchanan wrote a book on it recently about the destruction of America, and they fired him from MSNBC.
Yeah.
And then Judge Napolitano over on Fox was fired recently because he speaks least of freedom and the money control system. And of course, they don't come out and say that the Jews control the media, the movies, and the money system, et cetera. But they just get close and they're fired. They don't allow any dissenting voice.
Well, that's why Glenn Beck's not there anymore. He's gone, too. He's a Mormon, but he was getting awful close to a lot of truth there.
That is the problem. I know that you were, after your church situation, not taking the license, that your ministry grew, and you were a national speaker, and actually you had some prominent national ministers that came down. I'm not so sure they came down from belief or if they came down because they wanted some publicity, but I do know that you spoke all around the nation, and you came into the Israel message, and I think you probably found out what Jack Moore found out, that once you start identifying the enemy of our people and who true Israel is, you're persona non grata.
Well, yes, that's true. I had to spend I think it was like a couple hundred days in the local county jail for contempt of court because I refused to close down the school. And while I was in there, I received a lot of mail. I received a lot of mail from people that were sending me stuff about the message of who Israel was and the Israel people and all of that. And, you know, I've had a lot of people ask me how I got converted from the old position to the truth. And I have to tell people the hardest people to reach are preachers because we've been so indoctrinated and so, I don't know if it's brainwashed, but a man has to really want to know the truth. And the fact that I was put in an extenuating circumstance where I felt like that the pre-tribulation rapture, I felt it was really being tested because my teaching on the pre-tribulation rapture was that I would have been raptured out long before I ever went to jail. Well, that didn't happen. So that was enough to cause me to at least say, hey, wait a minute, I need to re-examine something. And a lot of information came in. And a lot of people have asked me, and I'm very honest about things. Probably 50 or 60% of the material I got came from very good people who loved the Lord, who knew the truth, who loved the message. They didn't have a lot of money. And they took information and they photocopied it so many times by the time I got it. It was very obvious that it was a very poorly presented message, and some of it I did read, but it didn't impress me. In fact, I questioned its source. But the ones that did help me were little booklets that were sent by Dave Marley's father-in-law. I can't remember his
name. Pastor Sheldon Emery.
Yeah, Sheldon Emery. He sent me two or three, he didn't try to flood me, he just sent me two or three very pertinent booklets. They were well printed, they were well documented, they had lots of scripture at the right places, and they actually began to make sense to me. And once the Spirit was able to pierce my veil of resistance, then some of the other material was a little more open to it. And a lot of the stuff that was sent to me that wasn't really professional, as I went back and read through it, meant much of it did have good information. And some of the oldest books I have now that I read and love and cherish are photocopied old books that probably I wouldn't have read then. But so I realize that I'm pointing out a very weak, fleshly, arrogant attitude by pastors, but that's where we are. Pastors look at themselves as being educated. They look at themselves as being professional. They look at themselves as being somewhat of an authority. And if you're going to approach them, then you need to approach them in a professional way.
This more effective with our people in general, too, to have something nicely printed.
Right. So,
but it speaks well of you that you received the message. I remember Pastor Emery talking about going to a minister that he thought was an honest minister to witness to him that the rapture was not scriptural. Mm-hmm. And when he got there, the minister already knew it and said something like, well, I preach it because it gets people saved or something. In other words, teach a lie.
Yeah, and you raise a good point. I will say this, and I think this is one of the reasons I was reachable. From the time I became a preacher, and I was about 16 or 17 years old, from that time to this day, my bottom line has always been, I want to know the truth. If God is God, and if there is a purpose for America, if there is a purpose for me to preach the gospel, then I want to know the truth. I don't want to waste people's time on things that are not truth. So if something doesn't appear to be the truth, I'm very, very much interested in trying to prove or disprove that. And even to this day, if I get something that's new, I don't toss it out, but I will look at it and I will run it against other witnesses to see if it's true or untrue. And there are still a lot of things in the Bible I don't know how to answer. But I find that it's very interesting to me that when you look at all the commentaries that have been written over the years, and I've got most of them. I've got Barnes and Jameson and Brown, and I've got Klein, and I don't know. I've got at least 25 or 30 sets of commentaries. But it's very interesting that the same verses that one commentator doesn't have any comment on, most of them don't have any comments on them. It's very common that there are some verses that nobody knows how to answer.
Well, I think part of the reason that we have pastors like that is, as the Bible tells us, my people love to have it so.
Oh,
I remember years ago, I used to take Pastor Emery's movie, Heirs of the Promise, around to different churches. Mm-hmm. And in some instances, the pastor who knew the Israel message invited me there because he wanted to introduce the message to his congregation who only knew the denominational doctrines that they were teaching. And I took the movie up to Lebanon, Missouri, to a congregation up there, showed the movie, answered a few questions. They had refreshments, and I came back home to Arkansas. But what they did was the church kicked that pastor out, and about half the people followed the pastor, and the rest stayed in the Baptist church and got a new minister.
Oh, absolutely. I can tell you today that you don't even have to mention the Israel message at all anymore. If you just preach the truth, and even if you stand in the pulpit and say that the Hebrews were not Jews and they're not synonymous, that's all you got to say, and that'll be the end. They won't even tolerate it. If you even make a comment that the Bible is a book about Adam and his generations, and that is his race, and use the word race, that'll do it. I mean, we're at the point now where the people are totally intolerant of anything. If their pastor can't make them feel good about themselves when they go to church and feel good about the way things are, and they believe God owes it to them to bless America for some reason.
It's more of a social club.
I often
say that some people go to bars and nightclubs for entertainment, and some people go to church. We have a caller online, too. Buddy,
okay.
From Eastern Tennessee, you're on the air.
Yeah, I just want to be thankful that Pastor Ramsey was willing to go to jail for his faith and standing on the Word of God. Maybe that's why he has problems talking with other ministers, because, you know, how many in America are really willing to go to jail and take a stand on the Word of God?
Not very many.
I just rejoice in the fact that God has done with you what he's done. I came from a similar background as a Baptist minister, and I was praying one day in my office in the church, and reading my Bible, and Romans 11:26 turned my whole world upside down.
Well, yeah,
amen.
Well, bless you. I'm grateful God could reach you.
Keep up the good work.
Well, that was in 1969.
So,
well, amen. Well, praise the Lord.
But I rejoice hearing you.
Well,
so,
thank you.
I'll get off the line.
Well, you pray for us.
I surely will.
We'll pray for you too. All right. God bless
you.
Thank you.
God bless.
Thank you, buddy, and I'd invite anybody else who'd like to join the broadcast to call. The number is toll-free, 877-924-7722, 877-YAWS-RACE. That's 877-924-7722. We're at the bottom of the hour. Pastor Ramsey, would you like to give some contact information to our listening audience?
Sure. Well, there are several ways you can reach me, but the very easiest and fastest way to get to me is simply to go to the website evertramseydd.com. Now, I didn't put DD on there just because it stands for Doctor of Divinity, But I tried to get a website with just my name, EverettRamsey.com, but somebody else already had it. So I had to do something different, and I just did that. But EverettRamseyDD.com is my website, and on that website, every page has a way you can send me an email or you can send me information, ask me a question. There's free information on there, free books on there, a lot of ways to get to me. That's one way. The other way is simply to write us here at 16800 Sunset Drive, Houston, Missouri, 65483. Those are the two best ways to get a hold of me.
I'll give some information briefly on how they can contact us. They can go to our website, www.kingidentity.com, and can see things there. You can also write us at Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas. And we do publish Pastor Ramsey's book, Racial Difference More Than Skin Deep. That's an excellent study on body, soul, and spirit, comparing our race to the other races. We ask a donation of $8. I see we have a couple callers online. Greg from Harrison on line 3, you're on the air.
Hello, gentlemen. Thanks for what you do. I've been listening for quite some time. Mike, I'm in your area. I'm wondering, is there a physical location and a church that you have?
We no longer have a local congregation, but I've devoted my time primarily to the outreach ministry, and I'd certainly be happy to get in contact with you if you leave some information with our board operator. And
will do. I do have your PO box and that type of information. Secondly, I get a big charge out of your live broadcast. I wish you would do more, although I do appreciate all of the tape series that you run on other information. And just one third thing, if you would, there's a valuable resource, a woman maybe you'd consider interviewing one day, and I know she's listening, and her name is Annette. And Annette, I'm with you. And she's a senior, obviously. She's got a lot to say. She's very studied. And she is also spreads your website address around on different broadcasts. Some people that don't care for her to do that, but because of the message. But I believe as you believe, and a great asset would be Annette to possibly one day, if you consider it, interviewing her on one of your broadcasts. And she's a frequent caller. You know who I'm
yes,
talking about.
Yes, I know.
Anyway,
we appreciate her. I first came into contact with her when I went to Washington, D.C. with Pastor Emery. He used to take men up to the lobby of the Congress, and I've never met her in person, but I started receiving letters and later phone calls from her.
Well, she's got a lot to say, and I think it's important that a lot of our seniors, due to the time period, that she'd be able to actually spread some of her knowledge around. And if you consider it, I, for one, would definitely be listening. Thank you, Annette, also. I know she's listening, so thank you, Annette. And thanks, Mike. I appreciate what you're doing.
Well, thank you for calling. Have James on line 4. James from Ohio, you're on the air.
Well, praise the Lord, and God bless you both. The question I have for you, James chapter 1, verse 21, and the fact that when people get saved, I had to go 14,000 miles across the pond on the way to Vietnam, and I met the Lord there in Japan. And it's the greatest thing ever happened in my life. 200 and some churches in this county, and no one ever asked me if I knew Jesus Christ as my Lord or as my Savior or if I wanted to. And I felt so hurt inside because if I got over there, I could have got killed. I've been in hell forever. You know, when people give their lives to Jesus Christ, their life is no longer their own anymore. And it's not, and they don't let the Holy Spirit live and dwell in them and be the like it says in John chapter 7, a well of overflowing and springing up. They should be telling people about the Lord wherever they go because people are going to hell. There's no burden for the lost. And I happen to cry every single day when I know that because no one cared enough about me to ask me if I knew Jesus. And then James chapter 1, verse 21 talks about having the word implanted by him and not you. He says those are the ones he's coming back for. I just like your comments on that, and thank you so much, and love you in the Lord Jesus Christ. Bye-bye.
Well, my comment is, well, praise the Lord. I grew up in Baptist and Fundamental Baptist Works, and we concentrated totally on going door to door and knocking and asking people about the Lord. Still do that some. But what I found is that we were baptizing hundreds and thousands of people into the churches, and then we never taught them anything else except how to go out and talk about Jesus and accepting him as Savior. Well, it isn't going to save the country if the people who trust in Jesus don't learn what Jesus wants them to do. And that's what's wrong in our churches today. They get baptized, join the church, learn how to sing hallelujah, praise the Lord, and pray, but they never learn that they're not supposed to go out and divorce their wife and remarry. They're not supposed to shack up before they get married. They never talk about the fact that they shouldn't marry people of another race. They never hear that they shouldn't be using paper money. They should be using gold and silver. They've never been told any of these things, and these are the things that are destroying our country. And this country will go straight to hell full of people that believe in Jesus if they don't get right and obey God's law. That's the problem we got. That's my answer to it.
Well, I know that both of us believe in the personal message of the Bible, but it's only 29% of the Bible. The other 71% is the national message, God's law for the nation.
Yes.
And they need to know this in order to turn this country around.
And that's the problem with the pastors today, is they're concentrating on getting people to accept Jesus, come into their church, and grow their church roles. But then they won't tell them how to live, and so they go right back out and do the same stupid things they always did and violate the laws of God and sin against God and bring down the judgment of God on us anyway. So I'd rather see it than to have somebody say it. That's the way I see it. If a man's going to believe in Jesus and trust Jesus, and I certainly do, I can remember the day I asked him to be my Savior. And I believe that that's something that every person should do. But they're not going to do it unless the Lord and the Holy Spirit draw them. The Bible said, Jesus said, nobody comes unto the Father but by me, and nobody comes to me except the Spirit draw him. And you can twist people's arm and get them baptized, but you can't make them a child of God, and you can't make them a covenant child just by them praying a prayer. They're going to have the work of the Holy Spirit in their heart. And when that happens, then they'll be ready to be taught every word and everything that he taught us to do. And that's where we're failing.
That's for sure. We're waiting for that awakening Ezekiel talks about of the dry bones.
Yes.
I know they're listening to the news media more than they are the pastors, which isn't much different in a lot of cases.
Right.
But I actually heard just a few days ago, some little kid in England, 5 years old, supposedly believed he was a girl since three, and the parents are going to give him a sex change, which is absolutely abominable, but I think maybe even more abominable was that, I believe it was CNN, I'm not sure of the network, was saying, oh, what wonderful parents, they're so understanding, and blah, 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 you know.
Well, yeah, and that's, and then the problem is that we got churches that'll go ahead and accept these kind of people and accept them and put them in places of, in positions of leadership and authority, and that is a strict violation of the laws of God. You cannot build a Christian home, and you can't build a Christian church, and you can't build a Christian nation with people who are not living by the laws of God to be Christian. And they can call themselves be Christians, they can baptize themselves, they can do whatever they want to do, but if they don't obey God, then they're useless.
They have the race mixing and homosexuality and everything else, and the churches teach, well, judge not, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is sickening. We have another caller on line 5, Paul from Ohio. You're on the air.
I'm not from this place. I'm only calling from here, where the O is an O and a zero is a zero.
Oh, okay. Welcome.
Because anyway. because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God.
Yeah.
And all those heathen that forget God will be turned into hell and all those nations, but I can't remember exactly how to quote that.
Well, you got
the answer to and the answer to Romans 13 is man ought always to obey God rather than man.
Absolutely.
And there's they've replaced, what is it, almost 60 million murdered unborn Americans with foreigners.
Yes.
This thing is an absolute plan. It is brilliant the way they're doing it, and the American people are flowing right along with it.
Yeah.
And they'll be going, yeah. And there's two books here, Hope of the Wicked and Brotherhood of Darkness. And here's a main one for you. This will open turn on a lot of lights. Windswept House by Dr. Malachi Martin. He's passed away now. I think that they did him in, really. I don't think he just passed away. But before he did, there were 120 Masons operating freely in the Vatican, and probably more by now. Are you a Freemason?
No, I am not.
Is your partner there? Oh, okay, good. I just want to know who I'm talking to.
Yeah.
By the time these people reach the 19th degree initiate, they know what it's all about. It's about vessel map.
Yeah.
Devil worship.
Absolutely. Yeah. We're very much aware of that. We appreciate you bringing that up.
Because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God.
Yeah. Amen. Well, I've heard of those books. I've read one of them, but the other two I hadn't read.
Have you read Winswept House?
No, I haven't read that one.
That one that is an eye-opener.
Yeah.
Read that, if you would, please.
All right. We'll take a look
at
it. All right. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, thank you, Paul, for calling. If anybody else would like to call, the number is 877-924-7722. Toll-free, 877-924-7722. Paul kind of brought up one thing that I think people ignore, and that's a matter of jurisdiction. Are we under the jurisdiction of Yahweh our God, or are we under the jurisdiction of man-made government? I know that if people were told you must pay taxes to the government of France, we'll say, they'd say, no, I'm not under the jurisdiction of the government of France. Well, the question is, whose jurisdiction are you under?
Right.
I think that that's something that's typically ignored.
Well, yeah, the problem we have is that we started out in this country where there was no government over the people. The people were the government. And that has changed, especially since the Civil War is when it began to change dramatically. And today we have allowed our servants to become our masters. And now I know there's a lot of people that, and I used to be in that game where we talked about the income tax and not paying the income tax and not filing and all that stuff. But the truth of the matter is, unless everybody's willing to stand up and do it, they've got the guns and they've got the soldiers. And I've had an awful lot of my good friends besides myself who have had property taken, assets taken, gone to jail. Some have been killed by our government. So we have to ask the question, at least I do at this point, is it the battle we fight today? And I don't know. I don't have that answer. I think God's going to have to answer that for every individual.
I think the first step is to change the hearts of the people.
Absolutely. Now, unless God gives us a change of heart among his people, and I think that's the encouraging part. People they listen to us sometimes and get discouraged because we concentrate a lot on the dark side. But there's two things I've learned, and one is that God does not judge a nation based on the wickedness of the wicked. He judges a nation based on the wickedness of the righteous. And, you know, he told Abraham that he wouldn't even destroy Sodom and Gomorrah as bad as it was if they had had 10 people who were righteous. Well, I believe in America, we have enough people, even though we're a minority anymore, I believe we have enough people that God would spare us and maybe spare our country if our people were obedient, if our people got right. We'll never get the wicked right. We'll never get people of other nationalities and other cultures and other races to all give up their wicked gods and their, you know, you're not going to get the Muslims converted.
We often hear 2 Chronicles 7:14 quoted, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land." And
absolutely.
I actually believe that that's the elect that need to do that, the called out ones,
right?
The body of Christ.
Right, absolutely.
Because, as you said, it's not the masses that are going to do it.
No. We're not going to see.
We have another caller on line one, James from Ohio. You're on the air.
Yeah, I hung up too soon on you before. About homosexuality, if the Christians would start standing up and just telling people about Romans chapter 1, and that's why Paul was writing the letter to Rome, because it was such flourishing and caused it all to be destroyed, right?
Yeah, It was
and Christians, if they would just stand up and start proclaiming God's word through the Holy Spirit, not them, and that's what James 1:21 is, putting all filthiness beside you, and let the Holy Spirit implant the word of God in you and not you. You see, do you ever notice how man sort of always fixes his eyes upon himself?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And we put, if we put ourselves aside and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to take and implant the word of God in our hearts with the blood of Jesus Christ and to write it on the tablet of our hearts and let the Holy Spirit do it in ourselves, then we have a whole different ballgame because our eyes aren't fixed upon ourselves. Amen?
Yes, amen.
And that's what that's what I was talking about. Because, you know, I cry in my heart because I see all these things that go on out here. And every time the Lord has me go out, he has me take like 25 or tracts that he's made up to pass out. Not about anybody but him.
Yeah.
And when the Lord said, start telling people I'm a king. So I did. And everybody go, a king? And they would look and they would take it. And, and like I ate at this Chinese restaurant, if I may share this with you, for like 15 years. And this man was a Buddhist for 45 years. And the Lord had me get him a New Testament in his language. His wife took him back, and he's come back out, and he says, is this what you know? And he said about that five times. I don't want to take a lot of your time up. And I said, yeah, that's what I know. So 3 months later, he come back out of cooking in the back, and he looks at me with his beautiful Chinese look and this kind of glory of God all over his face. He says, Jim, yes. And I asked him, I said, why? And he says, you. And I said, me? And then he thought for a second. He says, know what I saw in you. And that's confirmed to me that he did, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We are called to be his witness through the Holy Spirit, never ourselves. And if we give God the glory and the honor, we have victory.
Right.
We always have victory. And that's what the most wonderful thing that I've ever found since I've met the Lord is to let the Lord do it, not me.
Yeah, amen.
Because if it's me doing it, I always run into the wall. As far as the homosexuals, I asked the Lord to show me what to do and to tell them. And it's Romans chapter 1. Yeah. They don't believe Ephesians chapter 6, verses 8 through 11. They don't believe 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10. So when you go tell them, I said, and you put it on tape where they can hear it, you put it in print and give it to them, they still don't want it. But you still have to do it because we're called to be the witness through the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
And we never know what cross we're going to have to bear. I was in a coma for 30 days, and God brought me miraculously out of it. And I'm crying profusely because my skull's cut open in the back out where they took the blood clot out and stuff. I got hit on my motorcycle 70 miles an hour. And I asked the Lord, I said, why me? I said, why me? And I'm crying. And then the Lord said, well, why not you? I said, Lord? And then he says, remember my son? He carried that cross, didn't he?
Yeah.
I said, wow, Lord, we're living sacrifices, living stones, not because of ourselves, but because of him.
Yeah.
And the glory and the honor goes to him. And any way Satan can destroy a Christian who is blood-bought, sold out, and concentrated to him and letting him live his life through them, wow, the enemy never has a battle with all the rest of them because they're already set in place and, oh, we're okay. But when you've given yourself to him and you say, yes, Lord, like he said to his father when he was sweating blood, he said, yes, Lord, didn't he?
I just want
to say bless you and thank you for letting me have the time to share
thank you
with you.
Thank you for calling, James.
Thanks. Well, talking about confronting people about their sins and that most people may not have read it, but last week the Canadian government came out with a new edict that said now that it is against the law for homeschool parents to tell their children that homosexuality is a sin. They can no longer do that in a homeschool. Well, I don't know how they're going to enforce it, but they're going to try. And this is where we are. These wicked people in our governments are going to shove this wickedness right down our throats. And there will come a time when we will pay a price, there's no doubt. And we have to cry out to God as his people and ask him to save us from our own sins and cleanse us and repent of our sins and then to destroy the wicked. And this is one of the things...
It's now state law in California to teach homosexuality in the public schools. And I believe in Europe it's similar where the pastors can't preach. We have another caller. I believe it's Michelle, is it, from Ohio?
with Michael.
Michael, okay. Welcome.
I have a question. I've just been enjoying the program and just want to get a little clarification when I hear you talk about pure races. Joseph married an Egyptian, and their two sons were half-breeds, Manasseh and Ephraim. And they make up two of the 10 northern tribes of Israel who became apostate.
So well, they weren't half-breeds. He married a priest's daughter, and they were Edomites. They were white. They were not black, and they were not mixed. So they weren't half-breeds. They were not
part of
Abraham
lineage.
Huh?
Part of the lineage from Seth, you know, pure-blooded.
Yeah,
Adamite.
Absolutely. They were not. They were within the same race. They may not have been of the lineage of Abraham, but they were still of the same race.
I mean, I don't have a problem with the mixing and all that. And then my other question is, Moses, who was a Hebrew, married an Ethiopian.
That was a Cushite.
Miriam became leprous because she talked about her. But
now, we
God
have an excellent fact on that. Whom did Moses marry? And if you or anybody else listening to the broadcast tonight would like to write for it, well, send you a complimentary copy. Because she was, as Pastor Ramsey said, a Cushite and not a...
she was not a Negro.
Negroid.
No. Now, all of these things, unfortunately, pastors around the country have not taken the time to study them. Neither was Ruth a Moabite blood. She was Israelite living in the land of Moab. The Moabites had been gone for a long time before she even got there. So it's important that people understand that there is a racial line to God's program. He has his people put it in their bloodstream, and it's important.
So then today, people who are mixed or whatever, where do they stand as far as salvation is concerned?
Well, my position is that I don't know what God's program is for them. I don't think they can be covenant people. And covenant people are the ones who are going to rule with God. And it doesn't mean that we're superior. It doesn't mean that they're inferior. All it means is that if my daughter marries outside her race, then her children will not be part of the covenant race of God's people in the kingdom.
Pastor Ramsey's book, Race Difference, More Than Skin Deep, goes deeply into this subject if you'd like to send for a copy. I might add that we are going to be a blessing to the other races when
right.
we come into our proper order, because the whole creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. The sons of God are those of the Adamic race whose spirit preexisted with him in the heavens. And I remember years ago an Indian woman came up to me in a meeting and she said, I'm not an Israelite, but you are, and when you come into your proper position, my people will be blessed too. And I always remember her saying it, but it's the truth.
Right. Absolutely. Yes. Unfortunately, because the truth has not been taught, God's covenant people have strayed as they have in the past. A good book in the Bible to read on that subject is the book of Ezra. Ezra and Nehemiah, and they went in and they forced a separation. It was a terrible and horrible thing. I don't think we could do it today, but God's going to do it. God's going to bring about a forced separation at some point.
I said, I don't have any problem with, you know, the race thing. It's just that I want to be saved too, so regardless of what it takes, what me being half Indian and half African American, what can I do to be saved?
Well, If I was you, I would call upon the Lord and trust in him, worship him, know his book, and do the best I could to do his will, and let him be the one that decides what he wants to do with you. That's
we have less than 2 minutes left, so I'd like to thank Michael for calling.
Thank you.
Pastor Ramsey, would you like to give out some more contact information?
I'll just restate what I gave. The best way to get a hold of them is go to my website, which is www.evertramseydd.com. And every page there has the place for you to get a hold of me. Or you can write me at 16800 Sunset Drive, Houston, Missouri, 65483. And it's been a joy being on the program. Hope we've been helpful to somebody.
Well, I appreciate it, you being on the program tonight. And like I said, people can write to us to get your book, Racial Difference, More Than Skin Deep. And we have information on many other subjects, including tracts on Whom Did Moses Marry and Ruth Was an Israelite and other things like that. So once again, I'd like to thank Pastor Ramsey, and I'd like to thank our listening audience and our callers, and may Yahweh bless you.
We pray that your spiritual ears have received today's message and that you were fed with strong meat relevant to solving the needs of our nation and Christian civilization everywhere. Herald of Truth is sponsored by Kingdom Identity Ministries through the financial support and prayers of listeners like you who love the truth of God's Word and want to see it broadcast throughout the land to awaken His people. If you would like a
CD
of today's message, tell us the date and station to which you are listening and send a donation to cover our cost plus help with radio time to Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas 72602. We would appreciate donations made by our international listeners to be in U.S. funds. For a free introductory packet of information, including our doctrinal statement of beliefs, plus lists of books and tapes to aid you in your study of biblical truth, write Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas 72602, USA. Or request this material by calling 870-741-1119. That's 870-741-1119. Visit our internet website by going to www.kingidentity.com. Type www.kingidentity.com. We invite you to listen regularly to Herald of Truth broadcast for more dynamic messages proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom at this same time and station.